Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Let's take you live to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. Joe, hello. I want to ask you about Russia's plans to station nuclear weapons in Belarus. How are people feeling about that there? And how close are you to Belarus?
Bob, good afternoon from a rainy day here in Lviv. Probably Belarus, if you were driving, it's pretty easy to get here from Lviv. I mean, I think probably 6 hours. There's a very popular place in northwest Ukraine, several hours from Lviv. There's a big national park with beautiful lakes, and it borders Belarus. So that's not a popular, it's not been a popular place to visit during the war, just because there has been that, you know, continual concern that Russia, if they did have a sort of escalated land invasion, that they would come down through Belarus. In fact, Poland, which also shares a border with Belarus and with the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad, which is Russian territory and totally within Europe, Poland has now put the anti-tank Hedgehogs and other sort of defense lines along its border with Belarus and with the Russian exclave. So there is always concern that something could happen on the land there. When it comes to the nuclear matters, I think, you know, those in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe and in Scandinavian countries see this as, you know, whenever Russia feels it needs to send another dose of fear to the world, they mention nuclear. And so no one takes that too seriously. It's the same threat that it's always been. Meanwhile, the Scandinavian nations, you know, there's talk that Finland could be accepted into NATO. Finland borders Russia. Russia attacked, you know, tried to take over Finland in 1939. The Finns largely were able to defend most of their territory, except for 10% of it. But over the weekend, the kingdoms of Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and the Republic of Finland decided that they are grouping together their air force. So they'll have a air fleet of 250 fighter jets to protect their countries from any potential Russian threats.
And where you are there in Lviv, Joseph, have things been quiet? Was it a quiet, peaceful, I hope, weekend?
Yeah, it's been, you know, all last week, there was no major Russian missile attack. You know, the action is happening in Bakhmut on the front lines. Ukrainians continue to hold Bakhmut. Last night, there was a drone attack on the southern Ukrainian city of Kryvyi Rih, President Zelensky's hometown, which is, by the way, the longest city in the world. It's like 150 miles long because it's built along mines, coal mines. And then this morning, there was some good news in the occupied city of Melitopol, also in southern Ukraine. That name means city of honey, a very fertile region. Russians have occupied that for most of this full-scale war. And this morning, there were explosions in the center. Some reports indicate this is the work of Ukrainian partisans. And so we do see that sort of activity there. But then also there were reports in Kherson, you know, this is sort of pretty much daily news now, but people getting hurt by landmines. And that's going to be a lingering problem for a long time. Some of the big chatter here in Lviv, especially among foreign volunteers, there was a New York Times story over the weekend called Stolen Valor, the U.S. volunteers in Ukraine who lie, waste, and bicker. And as I read that story, I'd encountered some of these characters. It's sort of the charlatans that have come here throughout the war. And I think most people actively involved in the war effort, which is almost everyone here, have come across some of these characters. And at best, they usually provide, you know, some kind of comic relief. I think most people could see through them. But some of them gained big followings on Twitter and were able to raise a lot of money from around the world. So if you see that story, it's interesting to read. But I think, you know, the stories that don't get shared are the stories of the people who come here with, you know, that don't have a big following on social media, who are, you know, with little fanfare, like my friends in that Hero Society. They came from all over the world, and from April until December, you know, they were going into the most dangerous places to evacuate people. And a lot of them left in December because they were tired. They were out of money. Their minds were sort of broken by the sounds of, you know, shelling and the sights of wounded. Those people never get the story in the New York Times. You know, the charlatans will get those stories, even if it's a negative story. And so it's good to remember these heroes. And unfortunately, there are, you know, some of these people, when they leave Ukraine, these brave volunteers, they commit suicide. It's so hard for them once they leave here. Because there is such purpose here, and we see this with every war when people go back home. But that really is a big problem, and, you know, the toll is high. And I was feeling that very heavily in Lviv You know, there are more deaths than are reported that we can even imagine. And, you know, even and far away from the fronts, I know people week by week who are losing their businesses, losing their minds. Yesterday, I was at one of the cafes in Lviv, and there was an older woman across from me sketching a vase with flowers, so a very calm scene. And then across from her was a guy having some homemade spirit and some the psalo, the pork fatback, and he was getting ready to go off to fight, leaving today. And then another friend joined and was speaking very philosophically about the war, how he's waiting to be called up, and saying, talking about how this week he's going to visit a friend who lost both of his feet in battle. And so, you know, this, even when there's, you know, no major missile attacks here, even in Lviv, the war is always very close by.
All of this reminds me of All Quiet on the Western Front and the current version of that great novel, attracting a lot of attention now. But that was the whole point of Remarque's novel. The survivors of the war are actually not really survivors much of the time, are they?
Yeah, this is, I mean, you know, it takes, you know, it rips away people's dreams and livelihoods and friends and family. But that's why you see, you know, and people here are aware of that. And there's many people, especially in Kharkiv, for example, are making great efforts to give psychological care to those who've been wounded, to refugees and others. And it's pretty interesting here that, you know, even, I mean, so many of the women and children who left, especially in the you know, last spring and in the summer, they've come back. And so because being here with everyone together does give you that psychological boost. And by the way, Bob, did you watch that movie, All Quiet on the Western Front?
You know what? I haven't seen it yet. It's streaming now, so I really want to watch it. It's on my list. Before we let you go today, Joseph, you know, whenever you talk about going out for your morning jog or being in a cafe there and enjoying some music, our listeners become curious, understandably, about how you cope with wartime. And listen to this text. Bob, thank you for reading my question to Joseph. My question is about his coping strategies for sleep. I'm a cardiologist who specializes in lifestyle medicine, so this is of great interest to me. We know there are so many negative effects of poor sleep. Thanks again. Great show. Yeah, how do you do it, Joseph? How do you sleep at night?
I think probably I'll have to think about this and we can discuss tomorrow, because sometimes you can, you know, I've slept during horrible attacks, probably not a smart idea, but slept peacefully. And other times, especially during the doldrums, when it seems that there's not so much, you know, the just the constant battles in Bakhmut and Zaporizhia, but everything else seems, you know, quiet. Those are the times where it seems hardest to sleep. But I'll give this some thought, because it's up and down. It's never consistent.
Yeah, I'll bet. Joseph Lindsley in Lviv, thank you, Joe. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.